saying goes, it's better to be thought a fool and keep your mouth shut than to open it and prove that it's true. Appreciate that scripture reading, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, that reminds us that some people, as they go about in their walks of life, show themselves to be fools. Those aren't words we utter lightly. As Christians, we're reminded that our tongue is something that we are to watch, something that we are to control. James warns us that the tongue is but a little member, but behold, it boasteth great things. And what a great matter a little fire kindleth, James chapter 3 and verse 5. A lot of damage can be used with the tongue and how we speak of others. And I believe this is the idea of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is warning us very carefully, you be careful who you would identify even as a fool. In Matthew chapter 5, he says in verse 21 and 22, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. The word Raca is something of an insult, calling someone a vain fellow or empty-headed. It was seen as a worse enough insult to someone that it was worthy to be brought before their local Jewish councils and to be punished. But calling someone a fool, that was something that was great enough. It was a supreme insult such that it would even destroy someone's character in the use of it. I think we can still see that usage even today. To call someone foolish, to impugn their character, their action, the ability to trust them or have any confidence in them, such that others question even their intelligence or their judgment. Such is certainly nothing to be taken very lightly. And so when Jesus would utter those words, and yet at the same time we find various descriptions of those in the Scriptures that would be called foolish, we recognize that when God calls someone a fool, it's nothing to be taken lightly. He considers it a great matter, and yet nevertheless, we can tell by someone's actions that they've proven themselves to be a fool. By their fruit, you shall know them. Jesus would speak of false teachers. And you can say, you can look at their actions and the words that they put forth to be able to judge them. In the same chapter that we often go to and people love to quote and say, judge not, lest you be judged, John chapter 7 and verse 1. That same chapter will say in verse 24, judge righteous judgment. And so it's nothing that I take lightly to call someone a fool. But when they show themselves to be foolish based on God's definition, then they indeed have proven themselves to be a fool in the sight of God. And that's something I certainly never want to be considered by man or by God. And so who are those that God would consider a fool that we might know and avoid such actions? First and foremost, I would suggest unto you that God describes as a fool one who does not believe in Him. Go to Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1, or Psalm 14, 1. Here we find this first description. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that looketh, or there is none that doeth good. Here is the one that will not acknowledge the existence of God, and even beyond that, refuses to submit himself unto God because he rejects the knowledge of God. One that has all of the evidence of this world that surrounds him daily, and yet he shows himself to be a fool when he rejects that knowledge of God. This psalmist would also say in Psalm 19 in verse 1, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth this knowledge. There is no language in all of the earth that is not evident there is a God. Continues in Psalm 19 and reminds us, indeed, there is evidence that surrounds us every day to prove that there is indeed a God. Paul, in speaking of the Gentiles and how they had rejected the knowledge of God, would say they're without excuse. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. He says, look around. I don't see the hand of God, but I see the handiwork of God. I don't see God active in creation, but I know the creation is here. And so there is the evidence that someone created this, that there is an almighty and a powerful God who spoke forth this world into existence. I can know He is. And knowing that He is, I can seek out His Word and His will. But the fool will never admit to the fact that there is a God. The fool then will never submit himself unto the Word of God and unto the will of God. And so certainly, God is going to call the man who does not believe in God a fool. But who else? Oh, we could go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Here he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom is knowledge applied or used correctly. And so if we're going to be wise, it's going to begin with fearing God, having a proper respect to Him. Again, first and foremost, if we don't believe in God, we show ourselves to be foolish. But even if we believe in God and yet we reject His Word or we reject Him and refuse to follow and submit to His will, to look to Him for wisdom, He will again say, here is one that shows himself to be a fool. The one that can have knowledge from God's own Word and apply it into his life to the gaining of wisdom. There is one that shows himself to be a fool. This idea in verse 7 of instruction is the same word or same Hebrew word that is translated chastening or correction. It's showing forth this idea of discipline. We're reminded God doesn't discipline one because He hates him. Rather, He disciplines one because of the love that He has for him. Even as a parent would discipline his child. Why? Because He wants to mold him and to shape him into that which he should be. He wants to see him grow up into all that he can be. And so we're reminded by the Hebrews writer in chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. God loves you even more than an earthly father does. And an earthly father would chasten you to help you receive discipline and instruction and grow in wisdom. And he says, so does God. And here we have His Word, His guidance, His direction right before us. And what are we going to do with it? If we reject it, if we refuse to follow it, we refuse to learn from it, we refuse to grow in that knowledge and apply it in our lives, to grow in wisdom and application, then we would indeed show ourselves to be foolish. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and they have a problem of pride, being lifted up and boasting, trusting in the knowledge or in the wisdom of the world, Paul's going to begin asking them questions. The preaching of the cross, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For that after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The world showed itself to be foolish even while it trusted in its own wisdom. Again, Romans chapter 1, Paul would say in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They thought themselves wise in their own minds, even after they went after their own pursuits and rejected the knowledge of God. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, speaks of those that would trust in their own wisdom and the knowledge of man, rather than submitting themselves unto God and to His wisdom. A wisdom that was revealed in the gospel. A wisdom that we still have on the pages of the Bible before us even tonight. We ask ourselves, what will we trust in? The wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God? And how many the world over trust more in the wisdom of man than in God? And in so doing, they show themselves to be fools. But we could also turn over to Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Here we read, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Who does God consider or call a fool? The one that mocks at sin. And yet as we look around at our society, what does it do but mock at sin and make light of it? As if it were something to laugh at. One need only turn on your TV at any time of the day now almost. And what will you see but sin glorified in the images that come over that monitor? One need only pick up many of the popular novels. One need not go very far from even the local newspaper and see the actions that people partake in. To see that sin is definitely glorified in our society. We see so many that partake in immorality or fornication, adultery, homosexuality, that have no respect towards parents, that go after alcohol and drugs and any number of sins, and yet this is presented as entertainment, as something to be laughing at, as something to enjoy the seeing of it and the participation of it. And when a society sinks so low, we ought to be very careful. Again, go back to Romans chapter 1. A society of the Gentiles here that largely as a whole have rejected God, have considered themselves wise in their own eyes, and so haven't sought after His wisdom. And as He warns them of the things that they're partaking in, at the very end of the chapter, there's a troubling statement that condemns our society. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That see this as entertainment. As seeing it as something to mock at, to scoff at, to laugh at, to consider it as nothing important. It's just the world being the world. Unfortunately, sometimes we group that in just a child sowing his wild oats. Just a person that's sincere and yet is going off into the ways of the world and trying to live both lives of the faithful Christian, maybe on a Sunday, but lives by the ways of the world the rest of the week. Nothing important, just something to laugh at. We see another image or picture of our society as we go to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. A statement that is again repeated almost word by word in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 12. Jeremiah asked the question, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Are we not a society that no longer can blush at sin? That can look at all of these images that are infiltrating into our lives and think nothing of them? Oh, and it becomes easy to watch various shows as entertaining on our TVs, and yet if we'll really stop and to begin to think about some of the themes that are being presented time and again, we'll oftentimes see sin being glorified and the Christian and the ways of righteousness being mocked at. And yet we can go forth in our communities as well and see many of these things happening and no longer blush at them. Maybe we look around at popular clothing styles and see those that would go forth in public, maybe even at our given instance of our local swimming pool that just opened. And I have no doubt there are people walking around there that are wearing less clothing than they would be walking around in their own homes. If many of them would consider what they were wearing as underwear, they wouldn't answer their door in it. If it was underwear, it'd probably cover more than they were wearing at the swimming pool, but because water's involved, it makes it okay. And the Christian can go and be a part of that and not even blush. We don't think of it anymore. Immorality, rampant, we don't think anything about it. Now, I understand that the birth of a child is something certainly wonderful. And it doesn't always happen, unfortunately, under the correct circumstances. But I was hearing recently of a Christian couple that was so ecstatic because their young, unmarried teenage daughter was having a child. And there's something wrong when we no longer consider sin as something to be avoiding, as something to blush at. There's a problem when we can look around at all of the immorality of our society and it doesn't affect us. It doesn't have any influence on us and we don't think anything about it. As a society as a whole, we're drifting into that type of society Jeremiah was looking at in the nation of Israel. And we have to wonder, is the church not moving in that same direction? Or is it still holding fast to the Word of God? We have to remember that sin is something that destroys lives, both here and in eternity. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Sin will separate us from God, Isaiah 59 verse 2. So that if we continue in unrepented sin, it causes a gulf, not in which God cannot or will not hear us, but our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God. He's provided the means of salvation, but if we turn away from Him, that sin is going to be a gulf that forever separates us from Him. So the Christian would be well advised to remember that, to avoid it. The verse we used this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Is the Christian separate anymore from the world? And from the actions and from participation of the sin and immorality of the world? Or have we somehow created this nice little dividing line between what we do religiously and what we do in the world? We have to be careful that we're living at all times that Christian life. Because many of those things that the world laughs at are the works of the flesh, which Paul says of in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. Of the which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Sin is as black as can be. It's nothing to be laughed at, nothing to be mocked at. The one who does so is considered as a fool in the eyes of God, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. But also, we could go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, and we look at verse 11. Because here we're going to be reminded that also the man who speaks his mind always is also a fool. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth in till afterwards. This is the type of person we might consider a talking fool. This is the one I spoke of earlier in that statement. Better to be thought a fool and keep your mouth shut than to open your mouth and prove it. This is the type of person that would proudly state, "Oh, I always say what is on my mind." God would say, "You're foolish. Do we not think about, do we not process before we spit out whatever comes forth out of our mouth?" Solomon reminded us, there is a time to keep silence and there is a time to speak. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7. The wise man is going to make a distinguishing mark between those two times. When he should speak and when he should keep silent. The fool will always be ready with whatever is on the tip of his tongue. One that speaks hastily without first considering what is being said and its appropriateness, as well as the one that utters slanderous words, is a fool. Do we think before we speak? Do we consider what it is we're about to say? Do we evaluate it in accordance to God's Word? Is this right? Is this good? Is this good unto edification and building up? Or is it just going to serve to tear somebody down? Do we stop and evaluate? Is this something that's true? Is this something that has been proven unto me, that has evidence behind it, or is it something that's just being passed along? The fool will readily speak about that which he has no knowledge. The fool will readily pass along whatever the last thing he happened to heard was. The fool will readily speak whatever thought, whether it was wise or whether it was foolish, that happened to appear upon the tip of his tongue. Because he has no thought, he doesn't think about it. James describes such a man well in James chapter 1 and verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You back up what James has just been speaking about. He's talking about the one or how the Christian is to both hear and to do God's Word. He's to apply it to his life. He's to make application of it. It's to govern how he lives, how he acts, how he thinks, and certainly how he speaks. And so if there is a man among you that shows himself to be religious and he doesn't control his tongue, that man's religion's in vain. That man's not putting into application what he is hearing from God's Word and shows himself to be foolish. And again, such should certainly be avoided in the life of a Christian. So do we watch our tongue? Do we control it? We'll speak more about the tongue some other time from the book of James. He has much to say about the tongue. I'm reminded of the tongue. It is something that is not like an animal of sorts. It can't be tamed. The tongue is never anything that we can forget about. We can't say, "I've been a faithful Christian for 40 years and I know all of these things. I really don't have to pay attention to what my tongue speaks." The tongue always constantly has to be bridled. The tongue always constantly has to be brought under control and it has to constantly be reined in by the teeth and the mouth that God has given us as a barrier. Constantly reined in by thinking and evaluating before we speak off whatever happens to be in our mouth. Also along those same lines, the fool is one who always speaks his mind. We might also think about the wisdom of sometimes stopping and listening and hearing from others and evaluating what they have to say is wisdom. Many times a young person can learn much, not by speaking forth and always having to get his word in, but pausing, listening to those of age and those of wisdom, and learning from their experience. One last remark, Matthew chapter 7. The one that is called a fool by God is the one who does not listen and follow the Word of God. Jesus has just concluded what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. Now is there a call to encourage them, go forth and live now as you have been taught. And He's going to make a distinction here between one who is a fool and one who is wise. And the one who is a fool is discussed in Matthew 7, verse 26 and 27. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The one that refuses to listen, the one that refuses to hear and obey. You say, here's the foolish man. And he's not simply foolish because he's refused to listen to the Word of God. He's foolish because even after hearing, he refuses to do the Word of God. He refuses to put it into action in his life. Just previously, in verse 24 and 25, Jesus is going to give us the definition of a wise man, the one that's in contrast to the fool. And the only distinction is, he's heard the same things, but he did it. He followed the Word of God. Very closely aligned with that passage of Scripture we just spoke of in James chapter 1. Because he begins that in James chapter 1 and verse 22. Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But you can hear the Word of God. But if you think that hearing, even just knowing the Word of God, makes you wise, makes you faithful unto God, if you think that just hearing and knowing the Word of God makes you right before His sight, God would say, you fool. Put it into action. What good has it done for you to know it, to read it, to hear it, to study it, if you're not going to apply it to your life? Then he goes on and he says, it's a mirror. It's a mirror that you either look at it as you read God's Word, and you see where you're doing good, you see where you're doing bad, and need to make corrections. If you just go your way and forget it, and don't make application, it hasn't helped you. You've shown yourself to be foolish. Oh, but the one that will look into that mirror of God's Word, that perfect law of liberty, will study it and learn from it, that will hear that Word and then apply it to his life, make application, there's a person that is showing himself to be wise. Indeed, it's a serious thing to call one a fool. Never should be done without justification. It certainly never should be done in contempt or unbridled anger. Without first thinking, considering, weighing the evidence that's before us. It's certainly something that God takes seriously. And yet, even though He takes it seriously, we recognize there are those He calls a fool. And we have to ask ourselves, am I going to be foolish or am I going to be wise? If I do not believe in God, if I despise wisdom and instruction, if I mock at sin, if I always speak forth my mind without first processing and thinking, if I hear the words of God and don't do them, that's what makes me a fool. God set forth that definition in His Word. Time and again we see characteristics of the one that He would call a fool. I don't want to be considered a fool before God. I have His words. I have His instructions. If I want to be considered wise and if I want to enjoy that eternal home with Him in heaven, then I'm going to take His Word. I'm going to study it. And I'm going to put it into action in my life. He says, when I do that, then I'm considered wise before God. Each and every day, each and every moment we have before us in this life allows us that opportunity to make that decision. And even tonight, as we're gathered here together, are we going to decide that I'm going to show myself to be wise by the way that I live? that I'm walking circumspectly, I'm paying a careful attention to how I step, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16? Or do I foolishly go about life never considering how I live, never considering how I walk? If we're to be wise in the sight of God, then we're going to make sure we're following Him and His Word. That we have decided to seek God and follow Him at His will, that we can know the Word of God. Having heard it, we put it into action. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without that faith that would put that knowledge into action, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Among so many great examples of faithful people that put His words into action. And then will we do the same? For He commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17 and verse 30. He calls upon us to confess Christ, a verbal confession made with the mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10. He calls upon us to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That our sins are washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. That I'm added to the body of Christ, Acts 2 and verse 47. And I now look forward to that eternal home with Him in heaven. And that as I continue faithfully with Him, I will receive that crown of life, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And if I stumble, if I fall, if I become foolish in my ways by stopping from hearing and doing His will, nevertheless, even yet, God will forgive me. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as we repent and confess of those things. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Will we make those decisions? And will we determine even right now among ourselves that as I go forth into life, I'm going to show myself not only to God but to this world that I am not foolish. No matter what the world may say and no matter its definition, I'm going to go to God's Word. Find that definition of the one He calls a fool. And never walk in those pathways. Rather, I'm going to walk in the pathways of those that He would call wise. Are you subject to that invitation? If so, wouldn't you let it be known? And together we stand and sing. There's a